right, here we go, folks. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. It is October 16th, 2022. In my, how things are, the pot is being stirred all across the spectrum. And I use the word spectrum on purpose for Kanye West. But anyway, I got a guest tonight for the first hour, and it's Blackbird 9. So everybody probably knows him. Giuseppe has him on quite a bit. He's filled in for me a bunch of times. So as Andrew Carrington Hitchcock calls him, BB, welcome to the show.
Greetings, good sir. Happy Sunday. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So during the week, you know, I was sending this article out to a couple people, and I wanted to have Blackbird on to talk about it, but there's some things that's happened since. So we've got an hour, and I just want to kind of cover the waterfront with them. But the dust up with the Jews here in the United States is really, really interesting. I want to start off with True Social. Donald Trump today, this morning. So I'm sure you've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
So no president has done more for Israel than I have. Somewhat surprisingly, however, our wonderful evangelicals, EZs is what Rick Wiles calls them, evangelical Zionists, are far more appreciative of this than the people of the Jewish faith, especially those living in the U.S. So the Jewish faith, not the Jewish race, huh? Anyway, those living in Israel, though, are a different story. Highest approval rating in the world. Could easily be prime minister. U.S. Jews have to get their act together and appreciate what they have in Israel before it's too late. Your thoughts on that?
Just the timing is like the wake of the Kanye is tsunami, if you will. Yeah. And then Trump, and then you had Bibi Netanyahu on the great one, Mark Levin.
Oh, he was with Bill Maher too.
Yeah. Oh, really? I suffered through the 18 minutes with the conservative chicken swinger on Fox News, and it was just all these platitudes to Bibi. Just like here's the guy who's like, we could just go on and on about that, but so it's just, I'm having whiplash trying to keep up with, somebody dropping a nugget like Trump, right? And then just the backlash. I mean, the pages and pages and pages on Twitter of people just telling Donald Trump to die for that comment, All these Jews just coming out of the woodwork. And it's like, gee, I wonder why the world realizes that you're a bunch of insufferable chicken swingers that are just so full of yourselves. People are really waking up. And I caught the show right before yours. Tip of the hat to Mr. Giuseppe and Mr. John Friend, because they were all over this Trump and Kanye thing. It was great. So.
Yeah. Well, it was a 1-2. Trump probably would have never even did this if it wasn't the blow up of the Kanye stuff. And, Kanye and Trump go back, for a few years now, as far as him having him to Trump Tower right at the beginning and all the rest of this stuff. So it's kind of fascinating. And then him having him at the White House with his, and Kanye's wearing his frumpy looking Make America Great Again hat that looked like somebody sat on it, like a 300-pound woman sat on it. But anyway, it's a very interesting time right before these midterms that this blows up like this. The proximity with only a couple weeks left of these so-called elections. Do you have any feelings right now about, we're looking at a couple weeks here until this goes down, about some sort of an event to possibly derail these? Or you think they're just going to go forth kind of normally with an attempt to steal key races and areas? What's your kind of synopsis right now on, what's going to go down?
Well, I thought it was interesting that in our out-of-state-owned newspaper, the Watauga Democrat, Echo, 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 they had a big article about how our election board in this teeny tiny little mountain town in the mountains of North Kakalaki were working with Homeland Security and the FBI and all these other agencies to ensure that our elections this year are safe. And I'm like, okay, that has never been an issue up here. Accurate, yes. Though, you know, we've had some really bad election mathematical improbabilities happen up here. But as far as anything happening at the polls, that's never really been a thing. And so I'm hearing all of this chatter of, you know, that it is going to be a red wave. That, you know, all of these conservatives are going to come back in and take all these seats, and they're going to lose control of the House, possibly control of the Senate, and that, you know, the Antifa BLM solution to that is, if it does go that way, we're just going to start burning cities down. Yeah. You know, so that's the kind of chatter I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's a definitely, let's just say the Q kind of people are all talking about that as well as a possibility, and they're also talking about a scare event. This stuff was in these Q drops that some of these people like X22 and all these people talk about a scare event. I still have stuck in my craw this something that might happen with Biden right here in the next number of days, where they might pull a stunt with him. That's a possibility. Somehow it's with me. I don't know, but they might let the red wave happen, and then all these people have been quiet all this time. The Soros buses start running again, and all these, you know, meth heads get piled on with their bear spray, and their, who knows, the bricks from Acme Brick Company start getting left in town squares again, like we saw. That's definitely an angle that could happen. And you know, Bill Gates was talking about, oh, we're gonna have a civil war. Robert Kiyosaki, what kind of one of Trump's buddies, a big financial guru, talking about a civil war. So they might throw the MAGA crew back in here and then begin some real street violence. That's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I don't know if you were following, getting back to your Biden hypothesis, because yeah, I have heard lots of chatter on that spectrum of analysis too. But in Raleigh this past weekend, we had yet another mass shooter event.
And is that the 15-year-old kid?
Yeah, and they were like, keep saying he's just a white 15-year-old kid. And it's, you know, are we going to get an October surprise? That's one of the things about American politics that, you know, since these hidden hand agencies have taken over, just completely turning our system on its head, we've had this, you know, counterintelligence shock value October surprise in pretty much every election in memory, where, you know, it's enough to get the propaganda out there and then people vote. And then after the fact, you know, then we have time to, you know, tear it all apart, right? And so, you know, what is going to be the October surprise for this election? Is it going to be a white nationalist, neo-Nazi, you know, blah, 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 white supremacist, you know, it shoots, you know, President Biden, and then Kamala takes the seat and shuts everything down, you know, or it becomes a backlash to immediately, you know, bring in the blue power out of sympathy for the assassinated president at the hands of those evil white people, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that one scenario. The other thing that concerns me is, you know, these cities that are really doubling down on their catastrophic event type thing, like New York City continuing to run the nuclear drills, mm-hmm. of a nuclear attack, you know, cities giving children bug out bags and things like this. And I still go back to, you know, in, what was it, around 2006, 2007, when that Broken Arrow event happened with the bomber leaving, North Dakota, and leaves with 6 nuclear warheads on board, but when it lands in Louisiana, only had 4.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that story?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's always in the back of my mind is we've got 2 Broken Arrows possibly still somewhere in this nation, not to mention all the other stuff that, our greatest allies have probably smuggled into synagogues.
Yeah, all those hot Israeli embassies.
Yeah, take the radiation meter near your local synagogue, right? And so it's like, are they going to go for that? I mean, just how desperate are they right now? And that's the thing is, how do you read the desperation meter of the power structure?
Yeah, I mean, and going with the some sort of another white blah, 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 person to do something evil would really kind of shut the whole Kanye thing down a little bit because, the Kanye stirring up the black Hebrew Israelite kind of, let's just say, sentiment, which has been growing, in the black population, that somehow all these West Africans are Jews, that they got, so somehow these blacks from Ghana, Liberia, Ivory Coast, and so forth, where all the slave ships were picking these people up, somehow they migrated all the way across the continent of Africa, and miraculously, these are the Jews that got brought to the United States. I mean, it's just so crazy, the black Hebrew Israelite kind of ideology. But it's been growing. You had Farrakhan and these guys for a long, long time, and then for the black Hebrew Israelite kind of ideology has really caught fire in the last 10, 15 years. And so it's fascinating to watch this, and now this big rapper coming out and talking about we're the Jews and we're the 12 tribes. And he says 12 tribes of Judah, which is like, dude, Judah's one.
I know.
He's like, and then the whole DEFCON 3, it's like, bro. And it's like, I get that you're a rich guy, but it's at least get your spelling and your homonyms, straightened out before you get on social media. It's just so funny. I mentioned it last week, and I'm like, DEFCON 3, it's just like, haven't you watched any kind of movies or anything where, it's clearly DEFCON? And everybody talked about it, but it's just crazy to watch this unfold. And then, a lot of the things the guy said, with these Jews coming at him sideways as far as, the entertainment business and all that stuff is very, very fascinating.
Right. And just, was it Ipsa Luga Rigur? No, I got that wrong. But basically, the thing proves itself. I have to practice my Latin better. But, he made the posit that Jews control banking and entertainment and social media. And the Jews said, no, we don't. He said, yes, you do. And then it's, just got escalated to, they took away his bank account. They banned him from social media. Mm-hmm. They are now trying to make him a pariah in society. They are in, they always complain that my, facts are incendiary, like your facts are incendiary. We have hate facts that aren't, allowed to all these community standards, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, they will allow all of their hate just to spew forth that, we have to completely destroy this individual. And that started out first with, we hope he gets the help he needs and he can get his meds adjusted.
Right.
And anybody who fought in the great troll wars after 9/11 knows that was a standard. Anytime somebody was trying to shut you down in a chat room, they'd always start talking about, are you off your meds? Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And, to try to discredit the ad hominem attack. But, and then like Jamie Lee Curtis out there giving the crocodile tears about, haven't Jews suffered enough without Kanye attacking us, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just
Sarah Silver
panic. But it's just, you know, everything he says is coming true. It's like, well, yeah, they are kind of destroying him for basically pointing out facts.
Yeah, right? And, you know, in all of us out that have been out here doing what we do for so long, talking about the origins of the NAACP and all of its leadership for the first how many decades, all being Jewish, and basically corralling blacks towards communism here in the United States and using them as a battering ram against the traditional white kind of constitutionally minded society, to where now it's been so transformed due to the Jews basically taking the black community under their wing decades ago and then just molding them into the hammer from the hammer and sickle, of course, to really beat down this society and transform it. And now we're seeing to where everybody's forgotten even the most basic principles of, like, respecting somebody else's free speech and private property and freedom of association and gun ownership and, you know, just basically an entrepreneurial sort of an economy where the government doesn't dole out assignments of what we're going to be when we grow up and all the rest of it, which they're trying to do with the central bank digital currencies and then the social credit score and all this dark Orwellian crap that's right here on the horizon. So as soon as they decide to pull the plug on this thing, boom, they're going to try to roll this thing out. And I don't know how it's going to go, but I our fellow creatures out here, so many of them, as far as at least in my geographic locale here, are just so not ready for any kind of the next, let's say, shoe to drop. What's it feel like kind of where you're at?
Well, here we are, you know, watching as all of these NGO groups that have invaded into our sleepy little mountain community and are just flooding us with the third world and, you know, destroying our way of life. And we're looking at it like, okay, let's say worst case scenario, the Great Reset, the world, all the young economic leaders, you know, World Forum leaders, just shut off the valves to all the supply, and mm-hmm. they go to their holes, you know, that are fortified bunkers to wait it out, leaving us, you know, surface dwellers, to in now non-homogeneous competing tribal circuits, right? And then you just, you know, extrapolate that into, you know, now move from the rural areas into the urban areas. You know, what would happen to Charlotte, North Kakalaki, that is no longer white? New Raleigh, North Kakalaki, that is no longer white? Greensboro, Winston, Wilmington, all of these formerly white cities that were, you know, pretty much completely white when, you know, I was a child here, that are now, you know, white minority cities. Well, what happens when the supply gets cut off? You know, you are not going to have the cooperative, you know, spirit that we had during the Great Depression that my grandparents and my father and my mother lived through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you know, very clear in their mind growing up through that depression. And, you know, they say if it hadn't have been for the communities and the churches and everybody working together, you know, they would have starved to death.
Yeah, and then, and it's like right now, it's like where the food is plentiful and electricity is on and gasoline is flowing. I mean, it's absolutely insane out in the streets. All I hear is police chases, sirens. All I hear is V8s. I mean, complete anarchy here in the St. Louis area, to where nobody obeys traffic law. And all you hear is sirens and police chases. And so I can only imagine once the realization hits that there is no you know, government that can turn the power back on for a certain amount of time. You know, we've had storms here to where the power was out for week and a half, 2 weeks. And, you know, this was far enough back to where people didn't act a fool. But I can tell by the mood out here in the streets to where if that happened, I think it'd get ugly very, very fast. Now, due to the collapse of what the Bible calls natural affection, people are so cutthroat now. People are just, I mean, look at the way people are sucker punching each other. We see on these videos every day, throwing people on subway tracks, just beating old people, kids beating teachers. I mean, did you see the Walmart video from right here in Ferguson that was floating around? I mean, and that's just black on black. Imagine when it goes to the next level to where people start to get desperate.
Right. It was 1906 when Alfred Henry Lewis stated there are only 9 mils between mankind and anarchy.
Yeah.
And so, but the other thing is just the agitprop that's going on. I don't know if you've seen this latest one. If you loved the Wakanda series, there's a new one of those coming out. If you loved the African King, right? You know, let's go kill a bunch of white guys, angry black women killing white guys, right? The newest one with Whoopi Goldberg is Emmett Till's story, and it's just called Till, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen anything about this?
Oh,
it is the most annoying trailer. Just, you know, Emmett Till, just this little, you know, what do you call him, choir boy black kid that just got wronged by those evil white people, right? And so this is just, you know, out there to turn black people against white people. And I think you were right earlier that, you know, the reason they're having to do all this over-the-top propaganda to, you know, rile up the blacks is because they are losing the narrative, and the black community is starting to question the role of the Jews and everything that's happened, especially this side of 9/11.
You know? Yeah. Well, my problem is that the discernment level of a lot of the American blacks is they just lump the Jews in with whites, pretty much. And so therefore, regular old white guy or whatever, we're catching the entire demonization. See, they don't realize that a lot of this is coming from a certain element of people that have, let's say, most of the time pretty white skin, but yet consider themselves above and outside of being white. See, they're a special because of the chosenness and all that crap, and the, you know, all the Talmudic brainwashing that they've received throughout their generations. But the discernment level on the other side of the house is, if it's white, it ain't right, and they're all, you know, the devil and the rest of the crap that, you know, that they've been imbued with for quite a while. And that's what really is, you know, sucks. And then look at the way blacks just attack these Asians. Just because of the COVID thing, they just started really attacking the Asians. They've always kind of attacked them, but since COVID rang out, they really, really just start beating Asian women in New York City and San Francisco. It's just crazy.
And yeah, that's the other thing about, you know, that especially that IQ level. If they feel that they have been authorized by some authority figure to carry out this kind of stuff, they're in the right. And yeah. So you have, you know, these radical ministers, I don't even want to call them that, you know, that just sit there and use Sunday morning pulpits for hate whitey, hate whitey, hate whitey. And miraculously, the IRS never goes after their tax status, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got the entire Jewish rap industry, which, you know, has completely radicalized an entire generation of black youths into that gangsta culture, mm-hmm. to glorify, you know, the gangland models. And
which Kanye touched on in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so, you know, you've definitely got this thing that they are weaponizing them against us, and, you know, if they're, you know, the majority of them, I think, just really want to take out Whitey. They want to do a South Africa on us. I mean, this is the exact same book that they used in South Africa. This is the same playbook they used in Rhodesia. Especially, you know, the taking the statues. That's one of the things early on, Miss Karen Smith, I don't know if you ever worked with her from Radio Free South Africa. You know, she said, when they start taking your statues down, that's when things are going to escalate. And you think right after, you know, Charlottesville, you know, all the statues started coming down and then the city started burning and you just really saw the crime rate go through the roof on both black on black crime, but also black on white, black on Asian, etc.
Right, and you know, they attempted to take down the statue of King Louis from here in St. Louis, and he's one of the guys that went after the Talmud, by the way, which is kind of an interesting kind of synchronicity there, that the Antifa brigades and some of the BLM types wanted to take down the statue of St. Louis, which the city's named after, and there was a big dust-up here maybe about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years. I mean, the time all kind of jumbles together when we have the cascading sequence of events that is constantly hitting us like, you know, like ocean waves. It's just constant pounding of a new crisis or a new event. Then they've accelerated this thing so quickly now to where people, I call it the intellectual fetal position, people get in due to the fact that things are moving so quickly and hitting so quick, fast all around us, that some people just want to turn it all off and then, you know, hide in the house and watch sports. And you know, and this is the unfortunate state of affairs that we're in right now. So after the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into this kind of, try to hash out this thing with Russia and the Ukraine, and we're going to cover that article that I sent you, and I'm going to read some of it, and then we're going to talk about these kind of white nationalist types in the Ukraine and how I've been viewing them as cannon fodder for this greater kind of Khazaria 2.0 project. I've been talking about that since this thing really went hot, and I know you've talked about that as well. But there's people like on both sides that want to view the people in Ukraine as all neo-Nazis, like your mainstream alternative talk show host, the Nazis. So we're going to talk about all this when we come back, and we're going to try to flesh out this Ukraine Russia thing for a little bit. All right, so we'll be back on the other side of the break, folks. Keep listening. I hope it comes up quickly for the winter starts to fall. We gotta get going quickly, and we got.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network plus products at the best prices is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And I'm waiting for the train. Caught up on this.
All right, we're back. It's the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're with Blackbird 9. Blackbird, why don't you shoot out your contact info? I mean, your where you're doing your show at and everything else, so the audience can hook that up if they want to.
Yes, thank you. I do a show called Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club on Wacky Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and that goes out on the Spreaker Network and also on Speak Free Radio. So you can go to speakfreeradio.com and listen to that feed, and you can go out to my website at Blackbird 9's Trading Posts, plural, .org, and that has a bunch of information about the shows, etc. And you can join me in my chat room at bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. And look for me, BB9, on social media. I'm Blackbird9. I'm on Gab, Minds, Sovereign, and Twitter.
All right, cool. So I've got a couple articles, and these were on Renegade Tribune over at Kyle Hunt's site. And it's a writer, Eternal Truth 14. And one of them's called Debunking Common Slanders of Nationalists in Ukraine. And the other one is called The Perestroika Deception, The False Fall of the Soviet Union. Okay. And Perestroika Deception, back when I was a JBS, John Birch Society member, they were, when that book came out, it was in the early to mid 90s. And I was reading a lot of articles from Anatoly Golitsyn about, you know, about the book and about this kind of theory that this is a huge head fake by the Soviet, or let's just say the Communist International, I should say, to have the Soviet Union collapse and then reorganize, halfway buddy up with the West, get a lot of investment and so forth. And we saw this during the bedfellow relationship between W and Pooty Poot. Remember all that right around 9/11 and all that?
All right.
Yeah. So, but that's the basic crux of it. And you can still kind of see this with the China-Russia relationship, the Russian Federation and so forth, where a lot of people, John Birch Society people especially, they're still very leery of Russia and the fact that this could be a long game head fake, backstab to demolish the West with the Sino-Russian attack, and then cocktail that with the fact that there's a lot of our elites, you know, and Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief and Strategic Relocation, he really gets into this kind of theory that many of our elites actually want to absorb a first strike from a Sino-Russian axis, if you will, and so forth and so on. So before we dip into the article, your just initial thoughts on Vladimir Putin, the real, let's just say, long game of the Communist International, where Russia falls in to this and so forth. And then we'll dig into the article a little bit and we'll talk, flesh this out.
Right. Well, you know, Vladimir Putin is one of those guys I've been studying and studying and studying for years, and mm-hmm. I still can't completely make him out. Is mm-hmm. he a white hat? Is he a black hat? Is he a red hat? You know, is he working with the World Economic Forum? Is he playing the role of the hero, or is he actually the hero? Is he just, you know, the guy who's, you know, playing the part to get this, you know, flashpoint between Ukraine and Russia going to drag NATO in to finish Russia off in that revenge? Because I always go back to, you know, the end game of these people, these, you know, Maccabee zealots, is they want a new world order, and white European people don't have a place in it. And that's the key thing. They want, you know, us gone, Amalek must perish. They want Christianity destroyed. They want the entire concept of families, nuclear families, independent business, private property. They want that completely destroyed. They want to have full monopoly on all resource, and everywhere else is going to be a goyim slave under Noahide laws. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, dole out based on your social credit if you're a good slave or you're a bad slave, you know, exactly what standard of life you're going to have. And this is that transhumanist, you know, agenda theirs, and that they feel that they are now the gods of the planet, that they're not even human anymore. They're, you know, homo superior.
Yeah. Right? So let me ask you this. So one of the big, you know, let's say, thrusts that people use to kind of defend Putin and Russia in this whole kind of chessboard is the resurgence of the Orthodox Church and the emphasis on, by Putin and so forth, of family and children and traditional gender roles and all this stuff, which, you know, a lot of the alternative media really lionizes Putin right now due to the fact that this is what we are absorbing as far as what we're given as far as his perspective and agenda and so forth.
Right, and he's also, you know, clamped down on all the LGBTQ pedophilia craziness. You know, mm-hmm. that's another big thing that, you know, people on the right like him for.
Right. So, but think about this. If you're trying to weaken your enemy and you're trying to strengthen your position, just, I mean, basic strategy would be to keep yourself strong and to weaken your enemy with all of the very things that you don't allow in your backyard, just like the Chinese. But you see a lot of Chinese, like the fentanyl, all the precursors given to these cartels south of the border, and then the flooding of our country with the fentanyl. So, you know, while looking at Putin and the Russians as far as, you know, and really the MMA kind of community really ties into this with the Chechnyans and the Dagestanis. These guys just dominating in a lot of MMA circles. You know, you got Khamzat Chimaev over out of Chechnya, and then you got Khabib Nurmagomedov and Islam Makhachev and all these Dagestani guys, and Ramzan Kadyrov, the leader of Chechnya, who I just, for some reason, I get a kick out of watching that guy. But this is, you know, and then you're the using of Islam and these guys in these Caucasoid Islamists, and that keeps strong families, high birth rate, and so forth and so on. And these guys are in their fighting the Ukrainians and so forth and so on. So these Chechenian white Muslims are over here, you know, fight with these kind of white pride, I don't want to say neo-Nazi, but kind of nationalistic type Ukrainians. So it's a real mess.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, really has concerned me is whether this whole Ukrainian-Russia thing is organic or synthetic. Is just a few years after the Soviet Union fell in 1990. In 93, they announced that Rabbi Pinchas Goldschmidt would be the chief rabbi of Moscow, and he was over something like just hundreds, I can't see the actual number here, just hundreds and hundreds of rabbis report to this guy, right? And yeah. Then in 94, Rabbi Schneerson did this really bizarre speech about how to get rid of the Slavs, as he calls them, you know, and with a Russian-Ukraine war. And that was in 1994, and he just goes through this whole thing about how the Slavs...
Mr. Producer, we got him, or what's going on?
Okay. All okay. Right. I would keep going. Okay, but this, you know, speech he made in 1994, he goes through that, you know, the Slavs and the Russians can never be destroyed but never conquered. This is why this seed is subject to elimination at first to sharp reduction in its number. So it's like this depopulation thing. And then he talks about how the Ukrainians will think that they're fighting against expansionist Russia, and the Russians will think that they're fighting in their national interest to return lands that were taken illegally from them, that, you know, Ukraine was removed from them, that should be Russian territory. And so he's just basically laying out everything that we would see, you know, some, you know, 30 years later or whatever. When suddenly, you know, we see that the Minsk agreements, you know, you have the Minsk agreements coming in what was that, 2014, and they said, we're just not going to accept the Minsk agreements. So that's when you got the Maidan Revolutions or the Revolution of Dignity in 2014, right? And it's interesting that on Stephen Colbert's show, they actually had this foreign affairs chicken swinger named Gideon Rose on. Somebody sent me this, you know, trying to juice-plane the Ukrainian rebellion and why we have to, you know, support Ukraine, right? And, you know, that has just blossomed into this, you know, Ukraine everywhere. That, you know, suddenly it's like the new 9/11, you know, you got to be a patriot if you support Ukraine, right? And the most bizarre thing I saw was, okay, so we're sitting here looking at Christian Russia fighting Jew-controlled Ukraine, and I'm in my hometown of Wilkes County, North Kakalaki, and go by the Salvation Army, and the Salvation Army has an American flag up and a Ukraine flag up, right? I'm just like, okay, that's total clown world when the Salvation Army is supporting Ukrainian Jews against Russian Christians. Go figure, right?
Yeah, so I got kicked off. I just went dead, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to talk. I'm like, well, I got shoved off. But this one's called "Debunking Common Slanders of Nationalists in Ukraine." And so, since the start of the Russo-Ukrainian War, we've seen many supposed nationalists in the West cheering on the neo-Bolshevik Eurasian war machine. Now, that's kind of a loaded term, as it maims and slaughters tens of thousands of white Ukrainians. Even though Ukraine is a homogenous white country where patriotism and ethno-nationalism is quite mainstream, we see a majority of nationalists in the West openly supporting Russia, while the Russian military rolls in, waving the bloodstained banner of the USSR. Now, there, I have seen some kind of hammer and sickle flags floating around here and there. You do have guys like Russell Bentley talking about how he's a proud communist and so forth, and he lives in the DPR, and he's always on rent. And then I'm going to go on for just a second. Many of these people are almost certainly being paid by the Kremlin, such as the TRS crew, that's the Right Stuff crew, via their connection to FSB asset Charles Bousman. However, many are just misguided due to being fed disinformation that Putin is somehow a savior of Western values, despite the fact that he imprisons and murders white nationalists at home in the Russian Federation. Many, however, justify their pro-Russian, anti-Western position by saying that nationalists in the Ukraine are somehow fake white nationalists, a position that has been promoted by the likes of TRS, Mark Collette, David Duke, and Red Eyes. Slandering Ukrainian nationalist battalions such as the Azov Regiment, Misanthropic Division, Right Sector, a.k.a. Svoboda, National Corps, and Format 18 always boils down to 3 points. They are funded, controlled by Jewish oligarch Kolomoisky. They are armed by Israel, that they overall serve the Jews. And then he goes on, all these assumptions are false, and so forth and so on. But your initial thoughts on that kind of slant or that kind of viewpoint?
You know, I'm sorry, you know, just the Azov Battalion, you know, just when they popped up, you know, right after the Minsk agreements, you know, fell apart, suddenly there's, you know, Azov Battalion popping up and getting all of this money, all of this funding, and they, you know, we've noticed, you know, pointed out that so many of those guys are Jewish, you know, and it's kind of like the band Kiss with their, you know, lightning bolt S's, you know. It's right. Like, oh, we're out here LARPing as Nazis, you know, and, you know, using their symbols. But we're actually, you know, basically having a militia that's attacking Russian nationals.
Was it one guy in Skokie, Illinois, Frank Cohen or Collins, that was Jewish leading the Nazi thing?
You know, and so to me, they're just so over the top, and then everybody start making the connections of tying them back into Israeli intelligence, and then you find out just how much Israeli intelligence has their hands all over Ukraine. That's the other thing, is just the Jew role, and now, you know, they're saying all the Jews need to leave Russia, right? That's the big thing that came out this week, is the Moscow rabbis sent out that warning message that all the Jews should leave Russia because it's going to be another Iron Curtain, right?
Yeah. So I mean, as far as this goes, like, and I've said this for weeks, it's like, it just seems like there's a lot of these guys that are caught in the middle, like they're actually nationalists. They love their people and this and that, these guys in the Ukraine. And they've got on one side these handlers, right? And then you've got the Russian side over here, and to where with the history of the Holodomor and all this stuff, a lot of these guys do not like, let's just say, the thought of moving back into the Russian, let's say, Federation. But at the same time, Victoria Nuland and all the Soros money and all the rest of this stuff and these Jewish oligarchs funding this movement over the last, 8-9 years to really destabilize any kind of relationship with Russia and so forth and so on, to where these guys are caught in the middle here, and it looks like they're just clearing out the land for this second Jewish homeland. Is that kind of how it appears to you?
That's exactly what I make from that Chabad Lubavitch speech from Schneerson, that, you know, we're just getting
that a couple
the
weeks
cattle
ago.
Off of our land, because this is Khazaria 2.0. Yeah, this is where we're really from. We just LARP to say, you know, that we were, you know, Hebrews to get into Israel. But, you know, this is, you know, our other area, right? And so you definitely see all of this Jewish money, organized crime money. You know, Ukraine is a huge money laundering operation. It's also a huge human trafficking operation. And it comes back to Israel.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to go back to this article real quick. Many people also claim the U.S. supports Ukraine, that any Ukrainian who takes up arms is somehow fighting for Globo Homo. In 2018, the U.S. Congress passed a bill written by Adam Schiff that banned any resources, training, or funds being sent to Ukrainian nationalists, but Azov Regiment in particular, due to their abhorrent white supremacist ideology. Many pro-Russian people in the West will say if they truly are National Socialists, how come they haven't assassinated Zelensky? If National Socialist elements in Ukraine launched a coup, do you honestly believe that Western arms shipments and diplomatic support would continue? Now, do you really want – I mean, if you're really – this is a hard one for me. Okay, do you really want the fruit from the poison tree of the West to get these arms shipments and all the rest of this crap, knowing what the larger game is here, which is to liquidate everybody in a conflict with the Russians? I mean, think about these so-called biological warfare research facilities, 40-something of them floating around in the Ukraine. I mean, it just seems like such a crazy place that, I you know, if I was stuck in the middle of there, it's like I'm stuck in my own crazy conundrum right here where I live. But where these guys, I mean, you know, we're sitting here trying to look at this situation and dissect it. But, you know, these people are living in rubble now. It's insane.
Right. And, you know, that's the whole thing of the let's you and them fight game theory model that, you know, these chicken swingers always use on us. All wars are banker wars, right? And so, you know, they're getting money to both sides so that their enemies will kill each other. And you're caught in this thing of, you know, once you get attacked, then, you know, it's on, you know, and you just have to, you know, play it out. And, you know, we're looking at this, trying to keep people, you know, white people from killing each other, because we need all the white people we can get right now. And just like here, say, you know, look at who these handlers are. You know, why are these little hats calling all the strings on all this, but they're nowhere to be found when the actual fighting happens? And it's interesting that both Russia and Ukraine, you have this mass exodus right now, that they're all coming back to Israel. You know, and basically, yeah, they set up this you know, crucible between Russia and Ukraine, and now that the fighting's going, they, you know, get to a safe location to watch, right?
Yeah.
And that's just the way they've done us, you know, since the protocols, you know, that first World Zionist Congress. You know, how many wars have been set up along these same lines of let's you and them fight? They figure out the reasons. And the Mockingbird media, you know, fans the flames, and they wave the bloody shirts, and they just escalate and escalate until they've achieved their agendas, right? And this whole thing with the bioweapon lab, you know, Putin said that we're going in and destroying their bioweapon labs that got set up under President Obama through the Pentagon in Ukraine. And, of course, everybody's like, oh, no such things. And then they started showing the evidence. It's like, okay, well, maybe they are there, but you shouldn't have done that, right? And it's just... the other thing is just how Mockingbird in America is just totally, Putin is a madman. Putin must be stopped. There's no objective reporting on this at all.
Yeah. Let me read this to you. Still to this day, they celebrate the Red Army's conquest and takeover of Europe. They continue to erect statues to the Red Army hordes who raped and murdered across Europe in 1945. History is once again repeating itself. It's the same Eastern hordes behaving in the same manner as they did during their advancement through Europe. For Ukrainians, it's either fight or face genocide. If Russia has its way, they will face Holodomor on steroids. In no way is this an endorsement of Ukraine's Zionist-occupied government. This is an endorsement of the Ukrainian people and the bravery they have displayed throughout the conflict. Do you see any evidence that Russia is going to oversee another Holodomor if, you know, let's say they totally get their way and do what they're going to do with the Ukraine? Or do you think Putin has handlers, namely Chabad Lubavitch types, that might, and Russian oligarchs, that might convince him to, let's just say, clear out the cattle, as we were talking about?
Right. Well, everything I have seen so far, and I, you know, watch all the American media propaganda, but I also have a lot of feeds from people on the ground in Ukraine, and people, you know, from all over the world send me a very different image of this war from what you see on American media, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is basically Putin enforcing the agreements from the Minsk agreements. It's like, this is what we agreed to. And by the way, you've got these weapon labs. And oh, by the way, you're, you know, bringing in mercenaries and you're bringing in NATO troops. That was the big thing this week, was that whole high-density housing thing that got destroyed, and they tried to say it was a civilian housing. Well, then it got revealed that those were NATO troops there, right? Mm-hmm. And so that just shows you how good Russia's intelligence is, that they're doing all these, you know, strategic pinpoint strikes, you know, of objectives to enforce the Minsk agreements. And yeah. What are you seeing?
Well, you look at NATO expansion and the attempted, you know, remember the stuff, remember 2008 with Georgia and Cheney and all that stuff?
Right.
You want to stay for another segment onto the next side?
Sure, I got time if you want to.
Okay, good. So he's going to stay with us, and then we're going to open the phone lines up for folks that want to call in and kind of give their angle on this. We'll see you guys after the top of the hour.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.